Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Well, every time that I think about looking into the book of Daniel, it just gets more and more exciting because we have more and more reason to believe that we are the generation who has seen the seals of the book of Daniel come off. And when you think about the encouragement and prophecy that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us regarding what would be the sign of His coming and the end of the age, there's only one thing in all three chapters where the Lord answered those two questions. Only one thing that is specific. All of the others are general signs. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. But only one thing can you put your finger on and say this is specific. The others have been going on for 50 years, even Israel becoming a nation, 50 years or more. General signs, but one is specific. And that's why I get excited about looking into the book of Daniel, because the Lord Jesus Christ gave the specific sign of His coming. He said, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him that reads understand." And it gets exciting because Daniel sought the Lord as diligently as he dared, and finally the Lord told Daniel rather sharply, "Daniel, go thy way. The visions are sealed up until the time of the end." And what is so exciting, brethren, is that we may look at these and I believe have every reason to be confident that the seals have come off the book of Daniel. And nothing could be more important for us, if that be the case, than understanding this abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. In 1999, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, the Jewish secular New Year, was on October 10th and 11th. It's to this day a two-day feast because it's the only feast of the Lord that no man knows the day or the hour thereof, not even the angels. It's a Hebrew idiom for the Feast of Trumpets, what I just said to you, and that's exactly the best way that the Lord Jesus Christ could communicate when He would return. All of the feasts of the Lord are about major things in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will be returning on the Feast of Trumpets. But in Rosh Hashanah 1999, many were holding that that would be the 6,000th anniversary of mankind from Adam. However, the 6th millennium does not end until the 7th millennium begins. Rosh Hashanah in 2000? Well, not exactly. In fact, 2001, because there is no year zero when we switched from BC to AD. So it's a little bit confusing, but not that bad. And it's also interesting to note that many have been celebrating the feasts of the Lord two times each year since 1999. When the rabbis say, and then again a month later, when Moses in Exodus instructs according to the barley being a bib. And why? Because of the drought. Yes, people were celebrating the feasts between 1999 and 2002 twice, because there was some reason to be able to do that. And it's a joy to celebrate the feasts of the Lord, so I have to tell you that I celebrated a couple of them twice myself, and it was a joy to do that. And it was done twice because of the drought, the lack of rain. There was, and it is history, brethren, a 3.5-year drought so severe, the most severe ever in the history of the planet. And we're thankful to God that the drought has ended. As serious Bible students would suspect that it would end, The drought, the worst in the history of the planet, ended after 3.5 years, just as it should have, from looking at the scriptures. And during those 3.5 years, because there was no abundant rain, the barley was not a bib when the rabbis said it should be. The Lord Jesus Christ keeps such things simple for his children, yet many rejoiced at being able to have a reason to celebrate the peace of the Lord twice during those years. Here's how the Lord Jesus Christ made it simple to know when to celebrate the peace of the Lord. It's very simple for all of his children, because his children are obedient. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then pay attention. Saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. Okay? So, the Lord made it very simple for everybody to be on the same page. He's God. And he said, whenever the rabbis say it is, that's it. That's when it is. So, while there was some reason and excuse to celebrate it twice, we only get to celebrate it once. And the proper time to celebrate it is when the rabbis say, yes, because the Lord said they have the positional authority. And if we're going to be submitted to God, we have to learn to submit and understand and be in positional authority. This is going to become more and more important as we move in further into this Antichrist war on the saints. As we have seen about Rosh Hashanah 2001, we witnessed the 9/11 World Trade Center Pentagon tragedy, and that started the destruction of America. That tragedy was used to very rapidly advance the Antichrist ungodly tyrannical laws, removing basic freedoms and human rights. These Antichrist laws, called anti-terrorist laws, were pushed through not only the American Congress, and by the way, the lawmakers were ordered to pass it, and they were not allowed to read the laws that they were passing. But they were also passed, and this is a thing that has not been reported anywhere. One other place I think I've seen it since this happened back in 2001. One other place have I seen this brought to light. But these same laws were also passed in the same way, without being allowed to be read, at the same time by the other used-to-be free nations of the world. Yes, at the same time, in the same way, these same Antichrist ungodly laws were passed in the 15 used-to-be free nations of Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. It may be called anti-terrorism, but it is really the Antichrist war on the saints. The real Christians are a terror to the rest of the ungodly Antichrist world. Philippians 1:28 tells us that. Philippians 1:28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. The rise of the Antichrist world government, economic, and religious system quickly came into focus. If any of you have not checked out the outline of the entire pyramid of Lucifer's Antichrist world government, economic, and religious system, sometimes called the Hidden Files, it's located in the Hidden Files, but that's the name of it. Lucifer's Antichrist world government, economic, and religious system. We have there the outline so that you can look at this whole Antichrist Luciferian mystery of iniquity from the top down. And it would be good for you to copy those files. And this is why it's so important for people to have the Great Joy and Great Tribulation CD, because you can get those files and have them available before the internet goes down. Those files may represent the most concise and yet comprehensive exposure of the entire Last Days Antichrist Luciferian plot available. Have you heard of D6B Day? D6B Day. That's the day that the world's population exceeds 6 billion. The United Nations number crunchers say this happened on or about October 12, 1999. At that point in time, there will be as many people living as there ever have been who have lived and died. It is so amazing how all these things are in the Word of God. Yeah, they're written in the Word of God if we would diligently seek them out. All these things are written in the Word of God for our admonition in particular. Yes, for our admonition, for our example, for our admonition upon whom the end of the world has come. And we now come and we're looking right at Isaiah 17:1, where we see the total destruction of Syria, or Damascus in particular. And this is when everyone will be forced to recognize that we are in the Great Tribulation. The covenant of death will be disannulled. And I think Rabin's death pretty much made that fulfilled prophecy, Isaiah 28:18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. They're not going to have this Palestinian state. We're going to have World War III, and it'll be blamed on Israel. And your covenant of death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. We need to look carefully at Ezekiel chapter 9. And there we see where God starts cleaning house in Israel. Then you will see the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. Now, all of us share in this ministry and call to a point, but there will be two specific individuals. And indeed, I think I can tell you that they are ready and waiting until God brings the house cleaning of Ezekiel chapter 9. For months now, we know that many ultra-Orthodox rabbis and yeshiva students are already being sealed and coming to full faith and power in Messiah Yeshua, Christ Jesus. This sealing has been going on for months, even I'd say as long as 3 years now. I've been aware of it, and I've had first-hand confirmation of it. We sometimes listen to the daily English broadcast from Israel. Every hour, there's mention made of Mashiach. Even the secular programs have quotes like, "The rational solution is Messiah, and the irrational solution is negotiation." And this is typical of secular radio broadcast quotes. Messiah is the rational solution, and negotiation is the irrational one. In America, there is no mainstream real news. I think people are really not wise to watch the media that's being put out nowadays by the prince of the power of the air. It's designed to destroy faith, sow doubt, cause fear, and confusion. And I certainly wouldn't watch it. I recommend nobody watch it. I recommend you read the Word of God, and then you'll know what's happening for sure and what will be happening for sure. The world now is going into the planned World War III worldwide destruction to bring about the chaos to establish the Antichrist Luciferian world government, economic, and religious system. And while this is happening, Americans hear about O.J. Simpson, Monica Lewinsky, and whether Tweedledee or Tweedledum won the election. Many would like to know what is going on, and some think they know what's going on. However, unless you read what the prophets in the Holy Bible say of these things, you cannot know what is going on. The American mass media is designed to destroy the very ability to think. If you have not yet permanently turned off network TV, just do it now. If you will diligently seek the Lord by diligently reading the Holy Bible and not a perversion version, you may get your mind renewed and your ability to think restored before it's too late. Don't take the national ID. Above all, do not take the mark, the biochip, in your right hand or forehead. That is the sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost, which will seal your certain destiny in hell. Israel will have no choice in this soon coming full-scale strategic nuclear war, World War III, that erupts in fullness around Israel. You see, unless Israel preempts totally destroying Damascus, Israel will have 200,000 civilian casualties in the first 2 minutes of the coming Arab offensive. Israel has no other choice but to show the Arab world and the rest of the world a literal fulfillment of Isaiah 17:1. The Luciferian, Antichrist, ungodly world will soon see what happens to those who would touch the apple of God's eye, Israel. Israel is not just a nation. Israel is the name of the family of God. It is God's great name. It is God's holy name in the earth. Look at Genesis 32:28 and John 1:12. Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, because as a prince you have power with God and with man, and to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. Born-again people have the great privilege to surname themselves with this name Israel, the family name of God, God's great and glorious and holy name in the earth. And I would very much recommend that you spend a lot of time carefully reading and studying Romans chapters 9 through 11, because many people are in a very serious and deadly strong delusion that will need your help in the things that are contained in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 9 just a minute. As we consider the seals coming off of Daniel, as we consider the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, understanding this abomination of desolation, we should start at Ezekiel chapter 9, first verse. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in, and stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. It is so important to recognize that those who will be sealed with the mark of God upon their foreheads, and this also ties in with Revelation 7:2 and Revelation 9:4, those who are sealed, those who will be sealed are those who sigh and cry for all the abominations, plural, done in the midst of Jerusalem. It is almost unbelievably sad how few who claim to know Jesus Christ even know that any of the abominations that have been done in the midst of Jerusalem. Let us not be that way. Let us be faithful watchmen. Let us sound the shofar of alarm. It will begin at the sanctuary Only those who have been sealed with the mark of God on their foreheads will be spared in the slaughter. It will begin at the Temple Mount. There will be a great slaughter beginning in the afternoon at the Temple Mount, and very quickly then we will see a literal fulfillment of Isaiah 17:1 and Amos chapter 1. The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Israel will very soon, after this slaughter begins at the Temple Mount, totally destroy Damascus. Many news reports have disclosed that Israel is prepared to use nuclear weapons in the coming war. It's known as the Samson option. They have no other choice, brethren. The Palestinians, by way of the peace and safety agreement, have indeed made a covenant of death. It has allowed the formation of an army of somewhere between 50 and 80,000 well-armed guerrillas within the borders of Israel. The goal of this fifth column, the goal of the Palestinians, and the goal of all the Muslims has always been the total destruction of the state of Israel. Israel will have no choice other than to launch strategic nuclear weapons. And this war that will start at about 3 in the afternoon on the Temple Mount, Israel time, will have gone nuclear before the next morning. The scriptures are very clear that Damascus will be totally destroyed. Russia has a mutual defense treaty with Syria. Almost simultaneously, Russia will launch strategic nuclear strikes on America. The Russian nuclear submarines have been positioned to strike the east and west coast of the United States for quite some time now. And the three televised misfires of the largest doomsday Russian military maneuver since 1982 underscore that reality for us in this present time. Now, look carefully at Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 10 through 13, because that proves that this war in Israel also marks the destruction of America by Russia. Let's get some more background. On September 13th in 1993, a 7-year peace and safety agreement was signed with the number one living terrorist murderer and father, grandfather and father of airline hijacking, Yasser Arafat, and Israel Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. We will soon see, brethren, the rebirth of the nation of Judah. And unless you want to be cursed of God, don't speak against the Jews or the nation of Judah that the Lord will soon raise up. Bless this nation of Judah, and you will be blessed. Curse these people, and you will be cursed. It's just that simple. Zechariah chapter 12, starting in verse 8, says, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadramimon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart. Comfort ye." This is a command of the Lord, brethren. Don't miss this. This is for now. "Comfort ye, Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The following account will explain to those with ears to hear how much has already happened to fulfill the prophecies of the final 7 years before the return in great power and glory of Yeshua the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Glory. Precisely in the midst of this 7 year peace and safety agreement, to the very day, on March 13, 1997, abominations, with an S, plural, were done. The destruction of America by the Russian nuclear submarines, according to Ezekiel 38:10-13, will occur at the same time that Damascus, Syria, and Gaza are destroyed. When will this be? The value of any warning of coming judgment is before the judgment, while there is yet time to find repentance. The time frame for this great nuclear war destruction is any time after mid-October of 2001. Consider every day that this great destruction is prevented as an affirmation and proof of the long-suffering mercy of Almighty God. Every day that this is prevented, we rejoice at God's mercy and long-suffering. A very likely timing of the Messiah's coming is at the fall feast of any year after 3.5 years from Passover of the first possibility, Passover 2001, which is the earliest time to mark the conclusion of 6,000 years from Adam would be Passover in 2001. So that could mark the start of the final 3.5 years. Somewhere along the line, we will be able to know. We know it has to start at Passover, and I'll get into the details of why we know that as we go along. It is not difficult to confirm that there were 240 years which were dropped from the Jewish calendar in about 135 AD or CE. That was during the Bar Kochba rebellion. And those 240 years were dropped strictly to disrupt the numbers, the vast numbers of Jews who were coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. On the website, there is a calendar confirmation article, and you can see the details of what I was telling you about just now. And let us hope that the mercy and long-suffering of God would continue to shorten those days on the front end. That's the way I like to think, brethren, that God is shortening, for the sake of His elect, the days of this great tribulation Antichrist war on the saints on the front end, still restraining Lucifer from the great killing and destruction that he's all too ready to do, so that it happens considerably later than September 2001. Let us watch and be about the Master's business the way it's described in Isaiah 58 and the way that the Lord described it in Matthew 25. Those are two good chapters if you want to know what we should be doing, Isaiah 58 and Matthew 25. And this is the best understanding that I have. I say, thus saith the Lord, when I read the authorized scriptures. But soon we're going to be able to say many more things with authority. Some things we can now say with authority. And soon we're going to be able to say many more things with authority. Isaiah 16:14, but now the Lord hath spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of an hireling, and the glory of Moab, and sometimes Moab could apply to America, it applies to Syria and the Philistines for sure, within 3 years, as the years of an hireling, the glory of Moab shall be contemned, with all that great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small and feeble. Many who were somewhat awakened to the times by Y2K are going back to their true heart's desire of living comfortably in Babylon. The 9/11 World Trade Center, Pentagon disaster and tragedy was another call to wake up and take heed. Maybe it was the final warning shot across the bow by God to the nation of America. I was on a radio program in June of 1999, and I remember that the panel who were interviewing me, or grilling me, however you want to look at it, I remember that that panel pressed me for a date. And twice in that program, that radio program in June of 1999, as they pressed for a date, they had to have a date. September 11th was the only date given. September 11th was given twice and very clearly in that broadcast in June of 1999 to mark the beginning of the attack on America. Yet the scoffing and scorning continues to target the faithful remnant who remain aware of the times. And just understand, it is supposed to be that way. These are times when the scoffers and the mockers and the scorners will rise up in mass. And that is causing the sanctuary to be cleansed. I hope you can see this. It is causing the sanctuary to be cleansed. The people who are not serious in regard to diligently seeking after God are being removed. The sanctuary is being cleansed, brethren. And it's no coincidence that there are 2,300 days from September 13th of 1999 when that 7-year peace and safety agreement was signed to Y2K. And when one adds the 2,300 days from the signing of that 7-year peace and safety agreement on 9/13/93, you get 12/31/99, and with leap year day, it's 1/1/Y2K. Calculate the number of days. It's obvious that the year 2000 is the starting of something. And it's also very significant that for the first time in history, in the year 2000, we see calendars began being published in the year 2000 with Monday being the first day of the week instead of Sunday. Over here in the Middle East and in Europe, it is almost impossible to get a traditional calendar which had not changed the sequence of the days of the week in 6,000 years in the year 2000. We see this change. It's not a little deal. Should we call it Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the 42-month war of Antichrist on the saints? As we shall see, to recognize the beginning at Passover is correct. It will begin at some Passover. And we should also see that the earliest Passover that it could have been to mark the beginning of this Antichrist war on the saints, also known as the time of Jacob's trouble or Great Tribulation, would be Passover 2001, because the year 2001 marked the end of the first 6 millennia. Daniel 7:25 is an interesting verse. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. He is the Antichrist. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Do you feel like you're getting worn out? He's going to try the patience of the saints. He's going to try and wear out the saints of the Most High. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. That's what he's done, changing times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time. I don't think anybody could give me a reasonable argument against the reality that every government on planet Earth today is an Antichrist government. Your vote has not made a rip of difference, perhaps in most of your lifetimes. It's ridiculous to get concerned over whether Tweedledee or Tweedledum will win the election. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, it's going to be a Luciferian Antichrist for everyone. There are more important things to do and get concerned about whether Tweedledee or Tweedledum wins the election. This Antichrist program, this Antichrist agenda is going to go on, and only the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stop it. your vote will mean nothing. Stop wasting emotional energy on things that will not make a difference. Reading your King James Version Holy Bible and building up your most holy faith, that will make a difference 100 years from now. In Daniel 8:14, it's an interesting coincidence that Daniel 8:14 tells us that after 2,300 days will the sanctuary be cleansed. And this is what we're seeing. Mark it down. We're witnessing the sanctuary being cleansed. 1 Peter 4:17-19, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Zechariah 1, verses 19. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. The four horns of Zechariah 1:19 are history, Rabin, Peres, Netanyahu, and Barak. The four horns of the seven-year Oslo peace and safety, scattering and shaming of Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. Watch for three shepherds to be cut off in 1 month. It is time for the four carpenters, God's wrecking crew, to tear down the political and religious corruption in Israel. Zechariah 1:20, and the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And Daniel 7:24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. We all know in part, and we all prophesy in part. We need each other, brethren. Jesus said, we must be as a child. Don't overlook the obvious. We best demonstrate true godly leadership by example of personal repentance. Knowledge puffs up, while love builds up. If we will have ears to hear, we may be able to hear a message of great importance that the majority of the body of Christ is not being taught. You may be aware of the many different possible understandings which give a different set of starting and concluding times. The one that I'm going to give you here is that of the faithful watchman who is duty-bound to give the earliest of scripturally possible times to sound the shofar of alarm and preparation. And I do recognize some of the great contributions of people like Henry Gruver, David Zavitt, Sam Mars, Marvin Byers, and Monty Judah. But don't overlook the obvious, brethren. While these brethren have not confirmed every point of the understanding that I'm trying to give you, they did review and or confirm some of the most important portions and confirmed many of these important details. The duty of the faithful watchman is to give the earliest of scripturally possible times to sound the shofar of alarm and preparation. The value of any prophetic warning of coming judgment is before the event. What if this land for peace, security, prosperity process, which originally was a max of 2 plus a max of 7-year process, which amazingly rested or ceased after exactly 3.5 years to the day at Purim in 1997, and which has been repeatedly caused to be strengthened or confirmed, which looks to be producing the Jerusalem crisis of Zechariah chapters 12 through 14, what if it really is that covenant of Daniel 9:27? Brethren, how many deceitful 7-year peace treaties do you expect? Do you realize in the history of planet Earth and all the wars on planet Earth, there never have been a peace treaty signed that had a time limit to it? This is the only one that ever had a time limit. And guess what? The time interval just happened to be 7 years, like God said. And guess what else? Rabin, the many. Yeah, the Hebrew word for many in that verse of Daniel 9:27 is Rabin. How many 7-year covenants with Rabin, the many, rest or cease their covenant terms exactly at the midpoint? How many of those kind of peace treaties do we expect anyway? But perhaps this is the real question. Do we really want Jesus to return and rule the nations and us from Jerusalem real soon now? That's the real question. Most people don't. They lie when they say they do. And that's why God's people, I think, are being tribulated, because they're going to be glad to see the Lord Jesus Christ return. Do we have an intense love for God and the truth of His Word? Or do we love our plans more than what God's up to? Do we have love for His land and our brothers and sisters of the seed of Jacob in the land of Israel? Christians have always been called to take the gospel of Messiah to the Jew first. We know that He shall return when the people in the land of Israel say, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." The Lord's going to lift the veil. To this day, when Moses is preached, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells you, to this day, God has put a veil over their eyes, and it's for our benefit. But nevertheless, it shall turn to the Lord, and He's going to lift that veil. And in one day, that whole nation will look upon Him whom we have all pierced and mourned for Him. We know that the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And we see in Romans 11:15 exactly when this resurrection, rapture, and return, which is a single time simultaneous event, is going to take place. Romans 11:15, that's when the rapture and return and the resurrection is. Romans 11:15 tells you, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" The resurrection, the rapture, the return of the Lord is a single simultaneous event happening in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, immediately after the tribulation. God made a covenant with Abraham wherein He promised to give all of that land of Canaan to the physical descendants of Abraham. There are Jews today of the seed of Jacob who have been brought into the land by God, returning them by His promise, who have chosen to make a covenant of death. They have made a covenant with hell and are giving away the land which God gave by covenant promise to Abraham forever. They were to possess this land and hold it for him. They were not to give it away. It is their possession. They are to possess it for Him. It is not theirs to give away. They are trading this covenant promised land for a false peace and safety that everyone knows will end with great destruction, a very great destructive war that the Illuminati has been planning, called World War III, for centuries. But they were not to give this land away. Exodus 23:32 says, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods." Deuteronomy 7:2, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Looking at the book of Daniel is always exciting. And one of the things, when we go to the book of Daniel, because the Lord Jesus Christ tied this as the only specific sign of his coming, is we should always, as we study Daniel, look for understanding of the abomination of desolation. The fact is that in Israel today, God's time clock has started, and it will affect America as well as Israel and the entire world. You may remember that when Israel had its previous wars, that it did not have a great impact on your country and the rest of the world. The time clock has begun, and now Israel's war will greatly affect your country and the entire world. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, and it is essential that we understand that even now we are entering great tribulation. We are in midweek of the time of Jacob's trouble. Did you ever try to get two Jews to agree on anything? That's an interesting thing. You ought to try it sometime. I need to tell you of an incredibly profound prophetic harmonic which occurred at Passover 2001. On March 22nd, 2001, Passover 2001, all 27 of the greatest living rabbis of Israel unanimously, yes, every one of them, all 27 of them, unanimously agreed and decreed that this is the time of Jacob's trouble. This is a profound prophetic harmonic, and how many people are talking about it? Jesus said in Matthew 23:2-3, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Just do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. All right, when they get born again, it's going to be a different deal. We don't follow the unborn again rabbis. That'd be the blind leading the blind. But when we see that veil lifted and the nation of Israel become the nation of Judah, then we better be in submission to them. Not now, but soon. And we must understand positional authority requirements. Without understanding positional authority, we cannot be in submission to God. If we're not in submission to God, we cannot effectively resist the devil. There is good reason to believe that we could now be in the Great Tribulation 42-month war of the Antichrist on the saints. I don't think we lose much, if we lose anything, by living according to that possibility. If you are waiting on the rapture, I must tell you that you have presumed upon the Word of God. If you believe you will be raptured before any great tribulation comes to your country, and to you in particular, indeed, you have presumed upon the Word of God. You are not going to be out of here when you want, but rather when the Word of God says that you will. God's timepiece is Israel, and the Word of God enforces the accuracy and facts of that time known as the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, and the great tribulation Antichrist war on the saints. The Word of God is coming to pass right in front of our eyes, and most churchmen are either ignorant, in denial, or in presumption regarding this most glorious and at the same time most trying time in history. We come to that timepiece of God's prophetic word, and most specifically, an explanation of that verse in Daniel 9:27, that verse which Yeshua referred us to for understanding the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. We all saw Clinton bring Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat to Washington on September 13th of 1993 to sign the 7-year peace and safety agreement. Few have understood this biblical event. This most significant event marked the beginning of the last days of history. It is a Bible peace treaty called the Peace and Safety Agreement. Do you remember the warning about when they say peace and safety? The warning is in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Indeed, the travail is started, and indeed those who continue to be oblivious, ignorant, or in denial, or in presumption, regarding God's time peace, shall not escape. This is the only peace treaty in history that has a 7-year term, the world's only 7-year peace and safety agreement. Daniel 9:27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." I'm going to read it again because it is profoundly important. This is the specific verse to which the Lord Jesus Christ referred us. Daniel 9:27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." This 7-year peace and safety agreement makes it essential that we understand Daniel 9:27. "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." In the Hebrew, that is Shaboah, a 7-year period. With many, literally the many ones, and in Hebrew, indeed, it is Rabin, or Rabin, either way, Rabin. Yes, God put the very name of the man who would sign it for Israel in that verse. In the Hebrew, there were 3,000 witnesses on the White House lawn. Remember how many were killed in the plague? Remember how many were saved at Pentecost? 3,000. Yes, there were 3,000 witnesses on the White House lawn to see the covenant signed with Rabin, the many. In the midst of the week, indeed, Arafat did cause the sacrifice to cease. The midpoint of this week is the beginning of a series of abominations, with an S, plural, known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Some of the abominations will be strategic nuclear war, starting in the Middle East and quickly going worldwide. Out of the chaos of World War III, the Antichrist will emerge fully indwelt by Satan himself, and the false prophet Vatican Pope will lead the apostate religious world to worship the Antichrist as God and Messiah, the indwelt son of Satan, also known as Lucifer, the devil. The Bible tells us that the book of Daniel is sealed until the time of the end. And this is what gets so exciting about studying the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is unsealed by what we have witnessed in the signing of that 7-year peace and safety agreement and the abominations, with an S, abominations, plural, which took place precisely in the midst of the week. It's very important to understand that abominations is plural in Daniel 9:27. In Daniel 9:27, we can see that God started the countdown of the last days on September 13th, 1993, and exactly 3.5 years later, in March of 1997, the sacrifice was caused to cease. Unless you think this is off the wall, thinking they haven't built the temple or they haven't been doing animal sacrifices and the Antichrist hasn't been revealed, let alone the Antichrist has not gone to the Temple Mount to declare himself to be God, I encourage you to pray and guard your heart. Pray for ears to hear what the Spirit might say. The Antichrist has been revealed. The odds against anyone fulfilling the specific Bible details of identity that this man of sin has already fulfilled is over 17 billion with a B. 17 billion to 1 against anyone being able to fulfill the specific Bible details of identity of the Antichrist, which he has already fulfilled. There are only 6 billion people on the planet. The Antichrist has been revealed for anyone with eyes to see or ears to hear. There are three locations on the website giving all of these details regarding the identity of the Antichrist. I don't want to spend a great deal of time there. You can look it up and check it out. So, what happened in mid-March of 1997? As Daniel 9:27 tells us to expect something in the midst of the week. The seven-year peace and safety agreement, the covenant of death, was broken in March of 1997. Even the secular media to this day continues to tell us that the peace and safety agreement talk stopped, and for all practical purposes ended in mid-March of 1997. There were seven virgin daughters of Israel between 12 and 14 years old who were gunned down in cold blood by a Palestinian soldier in the Jordanian army. Now that is not supposed to happen. There's not supposed to be any Palestinians in that army. And to this day, Brennan, Arafat's approval is behind every such act of terror. This was Arafat's way to send a message. Arafat wanted the Israeli police to stop the two Jews at a time from going to the Temple Mount continually, morning and evening, to pray. Israel got the message. Since then, Israel's police, even when they've had Supreme Court orders in hand, since then Israel's police have stopped Jews from going to the Temple Mount to pray, even when they had a Supreme Court order in hand saying they had the right to do so. Now, in August, just last August, August of 2003, some Jews were again allowed to ascend to the Temple Mount. This situation is an on-again and off-again situation, as far as the Jews having continual access to do the continual morning and evening oblation prayers. That access is still being denied, as far as I know. I'm trying diligently to stay on top of that one, but they're keeping a pretty close cover on that particular one. There's not much available as far as what's really going on there. It's important to understand the significance of the Israeli government action, which has since March of 1997 prevented two Jews from praying the continual morning and evening oblation prayers on the Temple Mount. How can this represent the sacrifice in Daniel 9:27? Everybody's waiting for a temple to be built or a cornerstone to be set, animal sacrifices to be started. Surely we would have heard of the sacrifice being stopped, and we will. And we never heard of the sacrifices being started or stopped. Well, let's take a look at what Daniel 8:11 says. Daniel 8:11 says, "Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down." That word sacrifice is in italics. In the Hebrew, it's tamid, and it means to continue as an indefinite thing, a constant or continually, the regular daily sacrifice, always, continual, daily, evermore, perpetual. It's not an animal sacrifice directly anymore. Where does that come from? In 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30, we find, "And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even." I want to say it again. "And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even." King David, who was prophet, priest, and king, King David instituted the continual sacrifice. Moses instituted the oblation that will eventually be fired up again. But David instituted the continual sacrifice. David changed the oblation to the continual sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise every morning and evening. Look at Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." And also, as we look at that word sanctuary in Daniel 8:11, we see more light regarding the sacrifice being made to cease precisely in the midst of the Shoah on March 13th of 1997, to the very day. That word sanctuary in Daniel 8:11 is Mikdash, consecrated place, holy place, holy place. The place, holy place, is the exact words of Yeshua in Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And Ezekiel 43:12, it says, this is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And this clearly explains that the whole top of the mountain is the holy place. Are you beginning to see the fulfillments of Daniel 9:27 that indicate that the last days leading to the 42-month Antichrist war on the saints could possibly have been started? Should we not be seeing all sorts of nuclear bombs going off everywhere and the whole world in chaos? Well, I just praise God for his mercy and long-suffering. Only he who now lets will let. Satan can do nothing until God turns him loose. But we will soon see these things. However, for the sake of the elect, the days shall be shortened. Otherwise, there would no flesh be saved. We're seeing the birth pangs of world wars, famines, pestilence, and total chaos, and they will continue to become much more intense. Now is the time to sound the alarm, calling all to repentance, as the entire world goes into great tribulation. The value of any prophetic warning of judgment is before the event. Remember, abominations is plural in Daniel 9:27. He shall make it desolate until the consummation. It will be the consummation when the Antichrist goes to the Temple Mount, which does not occur until the very end, at the consummation. In Daniel 12:11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. When the continual daily sacrifice is again taken away, then you will see the abomination of desolation, when the prince, the Antichrist, will go to the Temple Mount, stop the morning and evening oblation, and declare himself to be God. This abomination of desolation is to be near the end, at the consummation. The consummation is the time of the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist goes to the Temple Mount to again stop the morning and evening oblation and declare himself to be God. The abomination of desolation is after the abominations, plural, in the midst of the Shoah, and occurs near the end at the consummation. We must have understanding by the Spirit of Truth of Daniel 9:27. Regardless of what Jim or Henry or Monty or Marvin or Gershom or whoever might say or teach. The fact is that Daniel 9:27 could not be understood until the time of the end. However, now we have seen the specific prophecy-fulfilling events. God's men of wisdom and understanding are realizing that we all know in part and prophesy in part. They have finally shared with one another the various pieces that they each had been given. And this is where we have to start. We all know in part. When you have seen the many, Rabin, signing the 7-year peace and safety agreement, wake up. Did anything happen in the midst of the week? Was there anything that happened in March of 1997? You didn't really expect the Prince of the Power of the Air's controlled mass media to give you the right answer, did you? We do recall that after Rabin had confirmed that covenant of death by his own death, the rulers of this world immediately kicked that land for peace abomination into high gear. They gathered around Rabin's grave to confirm that 7-year peace and safety covenant of death. Specific Bible prophecy is being fulfilled in our midst. Who will have ears to hear? We are entering the 7th millennium. By the end of his ministry, Peter knew which Feast of Trumpets would be when the Lord returns in great power and glory. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We are at the conclusion of 6,000 years from Adam. Be sure to review that calendar confirmation article on the website. And I want to thank many people for their input for these conclusions. I remember from Australia, it was brought to my attention that I had failed to address one of the most significant abominations which happened on March 13th of 1997. And even though I had covered it every step of the way, and I covered all the details, I forgot to mention it in the summary. It was covered specifically and precisely in the Prophecy Fulfillment World News Update on the website, and it's still there. Anybody can read the details leading up to it. To understand the abomination of desolation, we need to understand that the scripture speaks of abominations, plural, with an S on the end of it, and of a consummation or greatest desolating abomination at the very end. Look at the abominations done that started in the midst of the Shoah. It seems that the abominations shifted into high gear at that midpoint of that 7-year peace and safety agreement in March of 1997. And now we may look to see the image of the beast set up on the Temple Mount. And this will be the great image of Revelation 13 that speaks and commands worship or death to all who will not receive the mark of the beast. And sadly, most will probably already have received that mark of the beast, because their preachers are going to tell them, well, that couldn't be the mark because we haven't been raptured yet. Brethren, they've already proved that ability of circular reasoning. They will take the mark of the beast because of their willing ignorance, their circular reasoning, and in reality, their love for the things of this world and not love of the Lord Jesus Christ. This great abomination involving the great image of Revelation 13 comes when the continual sacrifice and giving specified by this particular 7-year peace and safety agreement, which turns out to be land for peace, ceased and was turned away. Watch closely when the Jews set a cornerstone for that third temple. When they again start the oblation, the Antichrist and his false prophet Pope will stop it in short order. I encourage you to carefully read again all the scriptures that speak of 1260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years, a time, times, and a half a time. And I think when you do that, you will see that these all speak of a flagging, a warning, a foretelling by the Lord for his elect. He is telling of the final period of preparation and getting ready for the Antichrist to be unveiled. And then begins the Great Tribulation part of the Great Tribulation, which will not really start until 30 days later at 1260 days. That is, at the setting up of this image at 1290 days. Brethren, it's a pleasant thought to think that the full-blown wrath of Satan, where God turns him loose totally, or this greatest part of this 42-month war of the Antichrist on the saints, may only be 45 days. This full-blown, unrestrained wrath of Satan will be cut short. I thank God he promised to cut short those days. It's going to be cut short after 45 days from the setting up of the image at 1335 days. Matthew 24:22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And this greatest tribulation would seem to be cut short 45 days later at 1335 days. The first beast thus seems to be unveiled at 1260 days, but is not really successful in getting all to worship him until the second beast sets up the image 30 days later at 1290 days. Brethren, I want to ask you to consider something. Why wouldn't or why shouldn't the continual sacrifice and giving of the very sacrifice and giving specified by the seven-year covenant itself, which turns out to be land for peace, why wouldn't that be some of the major parts of the abominations? I hope that you can consider this and see the simplicity and the obviousness of this, which is, I think, only blocked by traditional religious peremptory bias. We ought to give the earliest possible warning. Why will people be as concerned to escape the wrath to come and to be zealous and repent, as the Lord has said, if this wrath is still many unknown years distant? The greater danger is in not seeing what is staring us in so many obvious ways right in the face. We all should encourage one another and all faithful people to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from any and every wicked way, including making idols of our own ideas. And He will most certainly hear and direct our steps. Precisely, brethren, in the midst of the Shoah, in March of 1997, the UN voted 130-2 against Israel. All nations, brethren, except Micronesia, which has no army, were set against Israel. And this action, which was sanctioned by every nation on earth, all of the so-called Christian nations of this earth, flew right in the face of the Word of God and the facts of modern history. Israel did not recapture East Jerusalem by her own design. Israel was attacked by Arab armies in 1967, and by the grace of God and against all odds, Israel won the battle and occupied new territory and reclaimed Jerusalem as the indivisible capital and holy city of the nation of Israel. It was the greatest day in the modern history of the Jewish nation. The United Nations was strongly supported in its decision by the European Union and the whole Arab Islamic bloc. But the greatest horror was the joining of the people who claimed to know Christ. The Christian nations joined with Islam and the rest of the Antichrist world in its opposition of Israel's right to Jerusalem. The joining of the people who know Christ to the nations of Islam and the rest of this Antichrist world in opposition to Israel's right to Jerusalem was symbolized in 1997 when Christian religious leaders met with Muslim leaders in a mosque in Rome for the specific purpose of discussing the issue of Jerusalem and opposing Israel's right to build houses at Har Homa. The result of this unholy alliance was a united voice against Israel's right to her holy city, Jerusalem. In late 1997, there was a radio interview in which the Bishop of Nazareth reflected on a meeting held in March of 1997. On the 14th, he met with Yasser Arafat and 13 curates of the Anglican Church. Yasser Arafat, who hosted a meeting with these leaders of the so-called Christian Church, was described in the interview as a, quote, most charming man. On Sunday, the 16th of March, the Archbishop of Canterbury preached in a church in Jerusalem, and it was on this occasion that he joined his voice to the voice of the world in condemning Israel's decision to build houses at Har Homa. The issue of the housing estate of Har Homa thinly veiled the real issue of Jewish sovereignty over Jerusalem. The battle for Jerusalem began in March of 1997. It's a battle for the truth. The arraignment of the nations against Israel in particular, the joining of the church to the nation of Islam in its opposition to Israel's right to East Jerusalem was an abomination of the highest order in the sight of God. This abomination did not take place on the Temple Mount, even though this most holy place was in every way the primary issue. The abomination did not take place in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was the focus of the abomination. The abomination took place in the place described in the New Testament as the Temple of God. It took place in the heart of the Christian church, and it occurred on the very day that the daily sacrifice of prayer and praise on the Temple Mount by two representative Jews was forced to cease. Is this the abomination of desolation referred to in the Scriptures? Probably not. But it certainly is one of the abominations, plural, according to Daniel 9:27, which took place precisely in the midst of the Shabbat. Read carefully Isaiah chapter 30 sometime. The high wall there with the catastrophic destruction in verse 13, guess what? The Hebrew words are har homa. Yeah, again, the very Hebrew words. The die is cast for you. However, I think it is very likely indeed that there will be more abominations until the end. The Word of God says so. At the very end of salvation history, the final abomination of desolation will take place that will bring about the desolation of the earth. I believe that the taking away of the sacrifice was a sign from God. It was a sign that the last days of history were about to commence. The issue of the right of the Jew to offer prayer and praise to God on the Temple Mount was one and the same issue as the right of the Jewish nation to East Jerusalem. When a crude wooden mosque was first built on the Temple Mount, a Jewish church leader who was living in Jerusalem at the time in 691 AD recognized it as an abomination that causes desolation. And his words were prophetic and had a double meaning. Israel's Hasidic Orthodox Jews believe that the worship of the false god Allah on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the most holy site in Israel, is an abomination of the highest order. And that's why it is the fervent goal of the Temple Mount Faithful Movement to remove this abomination from the holy place and to reestablish spiritual worship of the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When the leaders of the people who claim to know Messiah, the so-called Christians, joined themselves to the nations of the world and opposed Jewish sovereignty over East Jerusalem, they aligned Christianity with the nation of Islam, which insists it is the right of Muslims to worship their god Allah, the moon god, the war god, the hate god, also known as Lucifer, Satan, the devil, in the holy place, where Abraham offered up Isaac, and where the first and second temples were located, the place. Yes, the place, very definite article, the place where the one true God of Israel said that he would place his name, the seal of ownership of the fullness of the earth. The apostles understood this, and after Pentecost, all the apostles risked their life twice a day, every day, to affirm the oblation honored the Lord Jesus Christ as the owner of the fullness of the earth because he created it and he redeemed it. And therefore, not only is the mosque on the Temple Mount a monument to a false god and an abomination, the people who claimed to know Messiah joined to this abomination by opposing Israel's right to Jerusalem. How is it possible, brethren? How is it possible that the people who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, how is it possible that the people who claim to know Messiah of this generation are so blind to the very issue that the Bible prophets said would bring the whole world to judgment?